Now, the Fire Brigades Union across the water has secured a victory in its long-running dispute with the government over changes made to firefighters' pensions in 2015. The Supreme Court has refused the government's application for permission to appeal the Court of Appeal ruling, which it lost in December. This is the last legal hurdle in the dispute. It leaves the government with nowhere to go. They cannot appeal this any further. Supreme Court refusing to hear the case. So, what does this mean? Well, Solicitor John McShane told me the background and what it will mean for Northern Ireland.
Essentially what happened yesterday is that there was an appeal, or the government attempted to appeal a decision of the Court of Appeal that dealt with age discrimination in relation to pension changes. What happened, and again as a result of the coalition government in the 2014-2015, was that there was a decision to look at public sector pensions. And that came out of a report called the Hutton Report. And effectively, it was going down the route of public sector pensions are too costly. So how do we deal with it? The government at the time took the view, look, what we'll do is we'll change the rules unilaterally. Now, the implications of that were that changing the rules meant that there were some people who are older that were not affected and some people that were younger were very much affected. Now, the common position would be, but surely that's age discrimination. But age discrimination, unlike most other types of discrimination, has a justification defence. So I can say, but for this reason, I can get away with this. So, for example, there was a case that was taken, again, the Fire Brigade, was that what age can you stop recruiting from? And the view was taken, maybe 30 is the age that you have to recruit by, because as you get older, you have to be able to do the duties of a fire officer. Similarly, that there was a case against Lufthansa that dealt with, you know, compulsory retirement ages, that essentially you, as you get older, you get less dexterity, less mental acuity. So the whole position was there should be a retirement age that is forced upon airline pilots. So the government thought, we can do this because we've got a justification and that there's a cost to the public purse. That was fought by the Fire
Brigade. They can do what? What specifically what did the government want to do?
What they can do is essentially what they did is they changed the rules to have it, rather than, like, for example, a final salary pension. What they did is the average to doubt. But then what they had is a thing called transitional arrangements. Now, what that means is basically what they were going to do is people that were older were not going to be touched. People that were younger were going to be impacted to a degree. And people who were maybe just coming in were going to be massively changed. So the whole thing is...
This is quite common in organisations.
It is, and it was... I would have, back in the day, probably come to the view that, yes, I would potentially have agreed that there was a reasonable justification defence. And the Fire Brigade Union, to give them their respect, fought it. They fought it to the utmost, and they pursued a case that ultimately was heard at Christmas in the Court of Appeal, and the Court of Appeal rejected the court's argument. So in this situation, there was a further application to the Supreme Court for the Supreme Court to hear it, because it deals with issues of public importance, massive issues. And the Supreme Court effectively said yesterday, there's no issue that we are going to look at. So the position runs to default, which is the Court of Appeal decision stands. So the government has no longer any appeal process. And that's why a lot of your listeners will be hearing of the significant cost implications of that.
So what does that mean? Spell that out in ordinary everyday language as to what it means for people in the Fire Brigade.
That means that effectively there were 6,000 claims lodged by the Fire Brigade Union in respect of its members. So what's going to happen from the decision from the Supreme Court not to hear the appeal is that those cases, every single one of them, could be being potentially lined up for remedy hearings to look at the discrimination that occurred and look at how much it's going to cost to remedy that discrimination.
So this is people who were entitled then to higher pension payments, essentially, right?
It was essentially a situation where they were in a pension and the government says, we're going to change your pension because we can't afford it.
Yeah. So they weren't getting as high a payment as they could have otherwise got.
Yeah.
Now the court is saying, no, they should have got it.
The future pension entitlement that they should be entitled to based upon the changes, it runs to the default position that they shouldn't have changed them in the first place. So the pension should go back up to what they were entitled to before the changes were imposed.
How much is that going to cost the Fire Brigade Union?
Well,
The Fire Brigade?
I don't know.
The government?
The government, and the figure that's been put out in the media is up to 4 billion.
4 billion?
4 billion.
Across the UK?
Across the UK, because this was running, okay, limited to the...
£4 billion a year, John?
£4 billion to remedy the position.
Okay.
Because I expect that what will happen is a lot of, you know, review will be taken about how do we resolve the position going forwards. But each individual claimant who's lodged a case, remember, has got an argument that I've suffered a loss. I have to be put back in the exact same position but for this unilateral variation to my pension. So the argument is I've been discriminated against. I've been discriminated against on my age because I'm not old enough to have enjoyed the protections that were available to older members of the Fire Brigade. So again, it goes to a fundamental thing about the rule of law. And the rule of law is these people suffered age discrimination and their rights, having suffered age discrimination, have been viewed by the Court of Appeal that they should be put back in the position that but before the discrimination.
How much would that cost Northern Ireland?
I wouldn't want to hazard a guess at all. I think the smartest thing I've ever heard a solicitor say is, I don't know. And the answer to that is, I don't know. Because I myself, for example, have a class action lodged in respect of police officers that were approximately 1,500 people have instructed me. That case is presently stayed at the tribunal. And that will be a...
What's that mean?
Basically, what was happening is everybody said, but this case is running over in England. So sensibly, I'm not going to incur costs to my clients for running parallel litigation when there's a case in England that's several years in front of me. So whilst I should stay those lodge proceedings in order to protect my clients, then the situation is I would say that the tribunal agreed to stay those proceedings for the time being, pending that determination in England, which was the decision by the Supreme Court to reject the application to appeal.
So given the decision by the Supreme Court, are you now going to move forward with these 1,500 cases or what happens now?
I think inevitably we will, but hopefully again, and to use an expression that's been quoted much back to me because I think I said it numerous times in the show on the last occasion, there should be a pragmatic approach taken because no one wants to incur substantial costs in running cases where the court has made a clear determination in England. There's no point in running parallel litigation here.
So on top of the 40 million that the police need to find for the overtime pay saga, you're now going to be hitting the police here for a separate cost again, quite legitimately on behalf of your clients.
Yeah, that's my responsibility, Stephen. My responsibility is to act in the best interest of my client.
But my point is that's more money that the PSNI is going to have to find.
Potentially, yes.
Where are they getting this money from? Not your problem.
My responsibility and my sole responsibility is to act in the best interest of my client because, to explain it another way, the whole excuse, if you like, about it's going to cost too much was used in respect to defending equal pay cases. It was a situation where if your mum or your daughter came to you and said to you, there's a man in my workplace and he's been paid more to me just because he's a man, would you look at your mum or your daughter and said, don't take a case? Discrimination, for whatever reason, be it age, politics, religion, is an abhorrence. And it should be fought and should be exposed for what it is. And if you have suffered a loss as a consequence of that, you're entitled to a remedy for that loss.
It's interesting what you were saying about those pension schemes earlier, because, you know, I'm aware of situations where a company has said, well, look, we've got, final salary pension scheme, but new entrants cannot apply.
That's correct, because that's for new entrants.
Yeah.
But this litigation surrounds the area of transitional arrangements.
Okay.
So it was putting in place an interim measure to deal with people who are already in and saying those who are already in but maybe close to retirement, we're not going to vary your terms. But for people who've maybe been in not as long, we're going to change that to reduce to an extent. And maybe those that are only in for a short time, we're going to change it unilaterally to put you into the new scheme. But all of this comes back to what is the difference of why those three different types of groups are being treated? Fundamentally,
age.
It comes back to age. And age, yes, is the few protected characteristics, is the only protected characteristic that you can have a defence for direct age discrimination by running a justification defence. And that has been rejected by the Supreme Court and that it's chosen not to even hear the hearing. It's chosen to reject the application for a hearing.
So that's it. Game over. Cannot be appealed.
That's
There's going to have to be a payout.
Yes.
And if you're litigating on behalf of 1,500 police officers here on that type of case, then it follows that there will be many other walks of life, many other employees and other sectors who can similarly sue, right?
Yeah, and that depends upon what transition arrangements, and as I find through many years of doing this type of litigation, it's complex, and you need to spend time and effort making sure that you're on the right foundation, because there's absolutely no point in running headlong into this and then paying the cost for a solicitor or barrister, and before you know it, you're up to your neck. But also in respect of the police officers who I represent, the slight change here is that, of course, post-Patton, there was a 50 for 50 recruitment policy. And added to the claim for direct age discrimination, there is also causes of action in relation to religious and sex discrimination. And that's because post-Patton, there was a 50-50 recruitment policy. So disproportionately, a higher proportion of people who would have been female or Catholic entrance to the police service would be disproportionately affected, because they would have made up a significantly more number of people who would be impacted by the changes, because they would have been more recent entrance to the police service.
So that's the solicitor, John McShane. It seems that a lot of these employment cases are gathering momentum, and we'll keep you across them.